rights are exercised when you are able to protect your relationships.
Should that be the forum of this honorable court or the forum of the parliament?
Today we are doing our job as lawmakers.
Russians, if I would be on their place, I would do everything possible to change my country, to stop this war. If you will escape, who will be those people who will bring change? This is a massive fight, honestly, geopolitical massive fight for the future of the world. We don't need to underestimate it.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. The Cook Islands decriminalizes sex between men, India's top court hears marriage equality arguments, and a queer Ukrainian's hopes for a more liberated future. Those stories and more this week, now that you've found This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending April 22nd, 2023. The Cook Islands is leaving the ranks of countries that criminalize private consensual male same-gender sex. Parliament repealed those provisions of the Crimes Act 1969 on April 14th. Under that law, so-called indecent acts between men carried a sentence of up to 5 years in jail. Anyone who allowed such acts on their premises could be imprisoned for up to 10 years. About 15,000 people call the Cook Islands home. It's a self-governing nation in the South Pacific Ocean that enjoys a free association with New Zealand. The Crimes, Sexual Offenses, Amendment of 2023 was supported by all major parties. Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown celebrated the historic day.
Today we are doing our job as lawmakers. We will remove a discriminatory and unjust law that goes against our constitution and our values as a nation. We are doing what is right and what is just.
Adult men can legally engage in same-gender sex in the Cook Islands as of June 1st, when the repeal legislation takes effect. However, under the Marriage Amendment Act 2000, gay men and lesbians cannot wed. 66 countries still make queer sex a crime, mostly in Africa and the Middle East. Offenders can be executed in 11 of them.
Uganda's President Yoweri Museveni sent the latest iteration of its anti-homosexuality bill back to Parliament. It's not enough for him that it makes even identifying as anything contrary to the binary categories of male and female punishable by up to 20 years in prison, gives 10 years for the promotion, recruitment, and funding of LGBTQ-related activities, and prescribes execution of repeat offenders for aggravated homosexuality. That's not harsh enough for Museveni. He's reportedly concerned that it needs the reinforcement and the strengthening of some provisions in line with our best practices. The president did, however, give the MPs an E for effort for having rejected international pressure and shielded Uganda's moral fabric in March during the passing of the bill. Museveni's government has tried to pass various versions of the anti-homosexuality bill for the past decade. The last iteration also included the death penalty for private consensual adult same-gender sex, but Uganda's high court overturned it on a legal technicality in 2014. Queer Ugandan activists are apparently taking their wins any way they can get them. Veteran Ugandan rights campaigner Frank Mugisha tweeted that Museveni's reluctance to sign the bill was a sign of progress.
The U.S. state of Florida's infamous Don't Say Gay law will now cover kindergarten all the way through high school. The Board of Education voted on April 19th to expand the gag rule beyond third grade in homage to Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, who packed the board with his own cronies. DeSantis has made his culture war against the rights of LGBTQ people a cornerstone of his would-be presidential campaign. His far-right agenda also includes virtually banning abortion and protecting children from whatever he calls woke. Everything from students learning uncomfortable aspects of U.S. and state history to drag shows. Still, he's fizzling in the polls and failing in his efforts to punish outspoken opposition to the original Don't Say Gay law from one of the state's largest employers, the Walt Disney Company, owners of Disney World in Orlando. The latest restrictions ban any classroom discussion of sexual orientation and gender identity through the 12th grade. Excluded are any existing state-required standards and topics that are part of a reproductive health course that parents or students can opt out of. Educators who are found to have violated these rules could lose their jobs or even their licenses to teach in the state.
Florida's House passed three more egregious anti-queer bills this week. They prohibit gender-affirming care for trans young people under the age of 18, force trans people to use bathrooms that match their birth gender instead of their gender identity, and punish venues for letting minors watch family-friendly drag shows. DeSantis is expected to sign them. Officials in the city of Port St. Lucie saw the governor's handwriting on the wall this week and cancel the area's annual LGBTQ Pride Parade. All other Pride-related events will have a 21 years or older restriction, family-friendly or not.
Montana's only transgender state lawmaker spoke out against a bill to deny gender-affirming health care for transgender young people. Now the Speaker of the House is trying to muzzle her. Here's what Democratic Representative Zoe Zephyr had to say, despite the House Speaker allowing an interruption from Republican Majority Leader Sue Vincent.
If you disallow the use of the medical care that is accepted by every major medical association and don't allow people to have access to that, if you are forcing a trans child to go through puberty when they are trans, that is tantamount to torture. And this body should be ashamed. This bill tries to define male and female as binary. You could not legislate binary sex any more than you could legislate that the earth is flat. Intersex people exist, trans people exist, and this bill doesn't change that.
Majority Leader Vinton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I speak on behalf of our caucus. We will not be shamed by anyone in this chamber. We are better than that.
Representative Zephyr.
And the only thing I will say is if you vote yes on this bill and yes on these amendments, I hope the next time there's an invocation, when you bow your heads in prayer, you see the blood on your hands.
Republican House Speaker Matt Regier has since refused to recognize Representative Zephyr's request to speak on other legislation until she formally apologizes for that blood on your hands remark. Zephyr refuses. She declares, "When there are bills targeting the LGBTQ community, I stand up to defend my community." Her Democratic colleagues have come to Zephyr's defense, but the standoff has yet to be resolved. Representative Zoe Zephyr's situation echoes the much-heralded incident in the Tennessee House when that Republican supermajority aimed to silence progressives. African-American state representatives Justin Jones and Justin J. Pearson were both expelled for forcefully demanding common-sense gun control laws. Their respective counties unanimously voted to appoint them to fill the resulting vacancies.
The outlook is better elsewhere in the U.S. Colorado's Governor Jared Polis signed bills this week to protect the rights to abortion and gender-affirming health care in his state. The gay governor is standing with his Democratic allies in Minnesota, New Jersey, and New Mexico against the assaults on choice and transgender health that are raging in more than a dozen Republican-controlled states. Polis told CNN, "Here in Colorado, we value individual freedoms and we stand up to protect them."
Finally,
For thousands of years in human history, we have recognized as a species that there are women and there are men who are obviously biologically different, dare I say, even scientifically different. Yet over the last several years, there has been a perversion in our culture by the enemy. And the left has completely embraced the lie to erase the lines of gender and to convince you there isn't really gender and that gender is fluid and can be whatever you want, whenever you want. Again, more lies.
Florida Republican Congressman Greg Stube delivered that obnoxious dump of denial of 21st century science in his introduction of a federal ban on transgender girls and women competing in female school sports. The slim Republican majority in the U.S. House of Representatives passed the measure along party lines this week. Not to worry, however. Like other punitive measures House Republicans have approved to deny rights since they won control of the chamber in November, this bill is going nowhere in the slim Democratic majority U.S. Senate. In the unlikely event that it reaches his desk, President Joe Biden has already said he would veto it.
That's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending April 22nd, 2023. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Marcos Najera. Stay healthy.
And I'm Tanya King Perry. Stay safe.
This law would outlaw speaking out for LGBTQ persons.
Tune in for a wide-ranging conversation with leading Ugandan rights activist Frank Mugisha.
Also, it would criminalize anything I post on my social media that advocates or promotes the human rights of LGBTQ persons.
Next time on This Way Out.
All the Russian propaganda are based on the fight for traditional values, which means traditional family without any perverts like LGBTQI, and also against women's rights because women need to be on the traditional role and place. We are not that country.
Olena's resistance later in the program. India's Supreme Court began hearings this week on a combination of petitions from around the country seeking one goal, marriage equality. The plaintiffs claim that with homosexuality no longer criminal, the rights of marriage should follow. Laws governing several forms of marriage in the world's second most populous country are complicated. Plaintiffs' counsel Mukul Rohtagi argued that opening the institution to same-gender couples fits under a broader reading of one of those laws, the Special Marriage Act.
To lead a life to our fullest extent with dignity, privacy in our home, and, my lord, without taint or stigma in public places. And therefore, we cherish and desire the same institution between two people as is available to the others, which is not the concept of marriage, the concept of family, because marriage and family is respected in our society. So there is no reason why, once our rights are identical and same as held by your lordships, my lord. And that has been the development, my lord, in the US and other nations. I have made a one-page chart which I'll show to your lordship. Therefore, my lord, we seek a declaration, because we have to be concrete. What do we want from the court? We seek a declaration that we have a right to, my lord, get married. That right, my lord, will be recognized by the state and would be registrable under the Special Marriage Act.
Another advocate for the plaintiff couples, Menaka Guru Swami, laid the cards on the kitchen table.
Marriage is not only a question of dignity, as if that were not enough. It is also a bouquet of rights that LGBTQ people are being denied post-Johar. Right? Those rights are simple things. Bank account, life insurance, medical insurance. I, for instance, frankly...
Rental accommodation.
I cannot buy SCBA medical insurance.
citizenship.
I'm a member of the SCBA bar. I cannot buy my family medical insurance from the SCBA. So this is the reality of how rights are exercised. Rights are exercised when you are able to protect your relationships. One facet of that right is a constitutional value of dignity, equality, fraternity. The other facet of that right is the day-to-day business of life.
The initial rebuttal from the government side was the contention that same-gender marriage is an urban elitist idea. That notion was shot down from the bench because there was no actual data to back it up. Solicitor General Tushar Mehta then fell back on the tired argument that marriage equality should not be in the hands of the court.
The sum and substance of my application would be, if I were to say in one line, the debate which is to happen with respect to the subject matter of creating, conferring a sanctity, legal recognition of a socio-legal institution, should that be the forum of this honorable court or the forum of the honorable forum of the parliament?
Continuing arguments in India's marriage equality case have been cancelled due to COVID infections among the justices. The hearings are expected to resume shortly. On the battlefield for democracy,
you just woke up on the 24th of February hearing those sounds of heavy bombing in the center of the Ukraine, in the capital. I never thought I will experience such events in my entire life.
And on the battlefield for diversity,
Russians seeing open LGBTQI people as a threat to their regime. LGBTQI people, women, feminists, you know, all those grassroots movements, they realize the general threats and they are trying to build new alliances, new coalitions, and that's the future.
Ukrainian activist Olena Shevchenko is fighting two wars, against the Russian invasion and for LGBTQI plus rights. In the first two parts of our exclusive interview with Time Woman of the Year Shevchenko, we learned about the queer movement in Ukraine before the war and the importance of queer humanitarian aid volunteers now. Her conversation with This Way Out correspondent Barry Mackay concludes with some observations about the enemy outside and the enemy within.
Turning to Russia, what messages are the official Russian media putting out regarding the LGBTQI plus community?
This is simple. Like, all the Russian propaganda are based on three key things. The fight for traditional values, which means traditional family without any perverts like LGBTQI, and also against women's rights, because women need to be on the traditional role and place. Another one is gayropization of the world. So LGBTQI people are seen as a main threat to this concept of traditions and traditional values. So that's why we are on the front line, you know, the main enemy for the Russian propaganda. And the third thing is so-called nazification, which is they attempt to show the Ukraine as a country of Nazis. So these three things are pretty interconnected, honestly, because it's based on the Russians' nationalism and their traditional family values, which is interconnected. So that's why our main aim is to put visibility on all those things which are completely different from Russia, because we are not that country. We have a huge history of fight for our rights on different grounds, and LGBTQI issues and feminism is the main themes of the recent years.
What's happening to the LGBTQI community in Russia now that the military campaign has been going on for 1 year?
It is hard to say, honestly. I don't have so much time to see what is happening in Russia now. But I know that many LGBTQI activists already left the country. and I don't know what will happen. Honestly, then the war started, the full-scale invasion. I vote that this is a very great moment for Russian civil society to go to the streets and to change completely their history. I thought it will be possible, but unfortunately we all saw that they didn't manage to do that.
To what extent are we going to see a large exodus of LGBTQI plus refugees from Russia now, do you think?
I think those people who can leave the country, they will do it. But from my personal perspective, for instance, if I would be on their place, I will never leave. I would do everything possible to change my country, to stop this war, because in any other cases, I don't see any other purpose in my life.
Even if you had to go to jail?
Yeah, definitely. Even if I would be killed, but for their, you know, for some very important reason. Like the values is the most important thing. If you will just leave your country, if you will escape, who will be those fighters? Who will be those people who will bring change? I think it's doable, honestly. Like so many countries, even Iran, see what is happening in Iran. They kill people on the streets, but people are still protesting. That's not the same as we see in Russia, unfortunately.
To what extent are we seeing a backlash against the LGBTQI community in Russia's sphere of influence, or indeed around the world because of the military incursion into Ukraine and the messages behind it?
This is a massive fight, honestly, geopolitical massive fight for the future of the world. We don't need to underestimate it. Because, for instance, the post-Soviet countries, they are still under such a huge influence of Russia. Like the smaller countries, Georgia, Armenia, Azerbaijan, countries in Central Asia, they are not classically independent, and everybody live in the fear that, for instance, if they will support pretty openly Ukraine, the next invasion will be to their country. And Georgia experienced that, like, 10 years ago, and nobody came to support them, including Ukraine, unfortunately. You see, and what is happening now, for instance, in Georgia, some group of deputies proposed the draft law on foreign agents, the same as Russia did in the start of the fighting with civil society. So it was a start of that autocratic regime which Putin imposed on the civil society. It means if it will be adopted, all non-governmental organizations and media who receives money from abroad will be in this register of foreign agents persecuted by the law in Georgia. So this is also the same thing is happening there. So that is why I'm thinking that we need to put more attention to those countries.
How can people around the world help your organization, which is called Insight Ukraine?
In so many ways. Like if it's possible for you to somehow send us very important products like hygiene pads, you know, diapers, everything which is connected to the basic medicines or furniture for people with disabilities. If you can deliver it somehow to Poland border, we will take it from there. If not, any possible small financial contribution, seriously, even $2, that will change somebody's life. Because for $2, we can buy some food for people and pack it to the general package. If you will donate to Red Cross or some other UN agencies, they just will take almost all the money for themselves.
The website address for Elena's organization is insight-ukraine.org. That's insight.ukraine.org.
Yes, and you can find us in Instagram and also in Facebook.
What are your hopes for the future of the Ukraine and LGBTQI plus Ukrainians?
Oh, well, my hopes are pretty bright. I'm just waiting for the very good period of life. But unfortunately, the realist part of me saying that it will be very hard times for Ukraine. Then the war will be finished. We will win, definitely. But it will be a huge period of time with rebuilding of Ukraine, and we need to be so much active just to put the loop on everything which is happening, not to allow any, you know, political sources or political parties to put the censorship on civil society.
How do you see this human rights conference here at World Pride as helping the cause of LGBTQI rights across the world?
I just came from the street, and in the front of the building of the human rights conference, I saw a few people protesting against the way in which this conference and Pride organized. And it just reminded me on what is happening in so many countries which think they already reached equality. It is exclusion of so many people from this kind of spaces, because it's not just about being LGBTQI person, that's also about different intersectionalities. And during the plenary, so many people spoke about that, but that's what I don't see on the ground. I see so expensive tickets to attend the events, which is not doable for so many people. I see that this is pretty much white dominated spaces, and so many voices are not included.
What are your hopes for the future of the LGBTQI plus community around the world?
I hope that we will put our solidarity as a good example for other movements, how we can talk about different things together, and trying just to put sense, another sense to this wording, don't leave anybody behind. We just need to somehow rebuild the system, international system, to make it more human and supportive for casual people who are suffering the most.
Elena Shevchenko, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks.
For This Way Out, I'm Barry Mackay, in Sydney, Australia.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Tanya Kane Perry and Marcos Nahara, and produced by Brian DeShazer. Our correspondent was Barry Mackay. Raviv Opera Street Singers performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson, composer, performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks to listener donors Margaret Roberts and Richard Merck and Brad Pitton of Silicon Valley. They helped make this program possible, and so can you. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on 4NSA Noosa Heads, Queensland, KHOI Ames, Iowa, Chiampa Radio, Tampa, Florida, and more than 200 other local community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.